Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, to ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
So sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
Happy Wednesday evening to everybody. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio, sponsored by Missouri Grassroots Coalition. I'm Lisa Payne Nager, and I'm your host on Wednesday evenings here. This is your Culture Vigilante Hour, the place where conservatives gather to take back your culture. We have a great show lineup for you tonight. We have three great guests for you tonight, all Missouri patriots, all very active in the patriot movement. We have Sandy Garber of K&N Patriots, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about the K&N Patriots organization and how they came about. And we also have Brian Hook of Missouri Journal, very active in researching the budget. Great information. If you haven't read Brian's information, you need to go to MissouriJournal.com and get on that blog post and get his feed, because he's a wealth of information as far as the Missouri budget is concerned. And we're going to wrap it up tonight with Gretchen Logue of Missouri Education Watchdog, probably one of the best, if not the best, education blogger in the country. Gretchen knows more about the education status of public education and where it's going and where it's come from than just about anybody I've ever met. So I think we're going to have a lot of great information for you tonight. This is our first real official week on air. With Missouri Grassroots Radio, we had a practice week last week, but we won't talk about that too much. Missouri Grassroots Coalition is a coalition of patriot organizations from across Missouri. This is a place where we hope that all of these patriot organizations will gather and coalesce to be a much stronger voice for taking back our government. Everybody, the Tea Party movement, and the 9/12 groups, and all of the patriot groups that have come about in the last few years, all work independently. They should all work independently and maintain that independence, but sometimes they need to come together to form a stronger voice on some issues. During an election year, that's certainly the case. We have some very interesting contests going on in Missouri. We have some federal level contests going on from Missouri. We've got Claire McCaskill against three contestants, Aiken, Sarah Steelman, and John Brunner. That's a close race that everybody needs to take special attention to. And as a patriot organization umbrella coalition, we need to come together and share that information. And when the time comes, we need to get behind the right candidate and put the right person in those seats so that they advocate for what the people want. And we need to start making changes in government so that the government starts to represent the people. As we all know, it's not doing such a great job of that right now. Tonight, I am broadcasting from St. Charles County, Missouri. And my co-host, Dave Court, is running the board for me from Springfield. Only on the internet can you do this. So, Dave, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Lisa?
I'm great. Forgot to put you on mic there. I'm so sorry.
<That's> all right.
We're gonna work out the bugs here. It'll be fine in a couple more weeks, I'm sure. Dave runs the Monday night show, The Hour of Truth, at 8 o'clock. Dave had a great show this week. He very clearly outlined all the state Senate races, and he's got a great lineup for next week's show. Dave, what have you got going for next week?
For next week on Monday, we're going to have the two Republican candidates, Republican primary candidates from Missouri 3rd Senate, Terry Varner and Gary Romine. They'll be with us. We'll spend 90 minutes, 45 minutes with each candidate, and we'll vet these candidates. Then we're going to follow on Mondays and Thursdays from now till the primary, vetting every primary race in the Republican Party.
Okay, that should be very interesting. Now, Dave, I heard a rumor that your hour of truth is going to go 90 minutes. Is that right?
It's going to be an hour. The hour of truth is an hour and a half of truth. That's right.
Yes, because you're going to stretch the truth for 30 more minutes. It's not going to be an hour of truth and a half hour of something
exactly
else. Huh?
Right.
Okay. Okay. Tuesday nights, if you missed last night's show with Von Carriker, you missed a very interesting show. Von will host the Tuesday night show, Show Me Common Sense. She had a great and very interesting interview last night on the legislative issues concerning landlord and tenant legislation in Missouri. And Von is an attorney, and she brings a unique and interesting perspective about legislation and issues related to various things going through the legislature. She had her show last night about the landlord-tenant thing was very eye-opening, I thought. Thursday evenings, we have an open line for free speech. So we're hoping to engage the patriots across the state to talk about the issues that are talking. Oh, are you going to use that time, Dave, for your vetting?
I'm actually going to steal that time back now. Yes, I need that. We're okay. Just not going to make it. We're just not going to make it. We're only going to get down to the last week in June is just going to get us through the Senate candidates, and then we've still got to do all of the races in the House of Representatives. So, yeah,
okay.
we're going to stretch the hour of truth even farther to two nights a week.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be a valuable service from Dave Court, and we absolutely need that. So, you know, you're going to find on Missouri Grassroots Radio, we're not going to spend a lot of time allowing politicians and legislators a platform here to pontificate, but we will be using this time here to vet candidates and to put them on the spot and to hold their feet to the fire and make them speak the truth about where they stand on the issues. So Dave's going to do a good job of that on Mondays and Thursdays. And then Fridays, we will be hosting our roundtable with the various members of the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Executive Board and maybe a few guests, and talk about issues of importance across Missouri. But tonight, I want to start off with our Patriot Spotlight. This is something that I hope to do on a regular basis here on the Culture Vigilante Hour. We have just gazillions of Patriot groups all across the state. All of them operate independently of each other, and many of them have different missions from each other and different pet projects that they work on and directions, but they all work toward one thing, and that's regaining Missouri government for the people, United States government for the people. And Canon Patriots has got one of the most interesting stories and one of the most poignant, heartfelt. I have so much respect for the way that this group got started, and I'll let Sandy tell the story. But there's no other group that I know of that has had this group was just formed on guts. Somebody got fed up with the state of affairs. This was pre-Obamacare, and just took it upon herself to start this group. And let me introduce to you Sandy Garber of Canaan Patriots. Hi, Sandy. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, Lisa, and thank you very much for inviting me to participate in this debut event of your first internet radio show.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here, because out of all of the Patriot groups that I know of across Missouri, this one has just got the most interesting story, and I can't think of a better group to represent what Patriot groups are, what they stand for, and the passion that initiates a Patriot group than the K&M Patriots. So would you just kind of start out telling us how K&M Patriots came about?
Well, to start off with, we were exactly as you had described us. We were fed up, we were disgusted, and we felt very alone, and that we needed to say something, do something, and make things happen. So our brave and courageous founder is Janet Alquist, who actually came out on the street corner back in April of 2009, only 3 months after Obama was sworn into office. She actually took a lawn chair. She went up to the corner of Highways K and N in O'Fallon, Missouri, and she sat there on that cool day with a sign that said, "One Voice Against Socialism." And she was just like the rest of us. She was becoming increasingly distraught, worrying about the direction of our great nation as we each and every day saw Obama come on to the national TV and tell us about the policies that alarmed and sent up red flags to all of us. So she lost a lot of sleep, needless to say, as we all have. And she began to wake in the middle of the night and put together signs and such like that with slogans and political statements that were obviously of those at the time. So in mid-July, however, she decided to take back to the streets. Things weren't getting any better, of course, as we all know, and she began up on the street corner again, probably with about 7 or 8 people, I guess, at that first time, and then she, continued on each week after that. She had also been in contact with the St. Louis Tea Party at that time, who evidently had decided that it would be great to not only St. Louis area, but also the St. Charles area to rally on the street corners. So each time that she came there, and I actually joined her, I believe, the second or third week that she was actually doing this. So each time that I came, then it doubled each time. So if there was 10 or 15 the first week, then there was, 20, 30 the following week, and each week it just grew and grew and grew.
So, Sandy, did you know Janet before you met her on the corner of Canaan?
No, had no idea who she was, but it has been a wonderful experience to meet her and share her love of America and the things that bother the majority of us in America, needless to say, and to make a statement and to actually wake up Americans to what is actually happening to us.
Well, it is an amazing group of people. I've been on that street corner many times with you all, and there literally have been hundreds of people on that street corner from one time to another. We've had fife and drum corps people. We've had people in costume. We've had people entertaining us. I mean, it's just an amazing, with patriot songs, telling incredible stories, immigrants telling their incredible stories coming from other countries. Just very inspiring, and it's just an amazing experience. And people will pull over when they see us on the street corner and join us very often. And the group has literally grown to hundreds from one woman in a lawn chair on a Saturday afternoon.
That's correct.
Right.
And the thing that you've said that's the most important, as far as being enabling Kate and Patriots to grow is the passion that people have, again, as you said, costumes and people who are, young group that has the fife and drums, and people that have actually literally given interviews to several bloggers that have attended our groups as well.
Right.
Talk about the strife that they faced in their nations, and they left those nations because of it. And they're extremely fearful that they're going to be seeing the same thing here in America.
So aside from meeting on the street corners, which you do on a regular basis, what else has K&M Patriots done in the last 2 or 3 years?
Well, basically, we have tried to show the support of many of the issues that have been on the forefront. As you had mentioned earlier, Proposition C, which was the health care mandate that the Missourians went to the polls and passed that by 71%. We've also been involved in the issues of the puppy mill, for example, which, we were against that. And rightfully so, it was deemed unconstitutional last year.
And actually, groups of you have gone to Jefferson City to lobby with the legislators. Is that not right, Sandy? You go and
we have last
in
year,
your red shirts and
yes, we have red shirts that do say K&N Patriots on them, and on the back of the shirts it says defending the Constitution, which is our mission statement. But in June, I believe it was, of last year, we did go to Jeff City during that so-called special session, and what turned out to be an effort to pass legislation that would have cost the Missouri taxpayers something to the tune of $360 million.
Mm-hmm.
So we fought against the China Hub and the Aerotropolis efforts that were put forth by the mayors, by the mayor of St. Louis, Francis Slay, and the other special interest groups, you know, in order to gain our taxpayer dollars for projects that were not in the best interest of the Missouri taxpayers.
And you were involved in sponsoring the ConCon debates, I believe. Is that not
yes.
right?
Uh-huh. We did that. And as I said, the people in Jeff City actually call this particular conservative movement, they do call this the conservative uprising. And again, I think it has changed somewhat the feelings in our state houses. As I said, we're very involved in all of that because of some of the folks also that keep us in touch with some of the bills that are going on and on the floors and such like that of the both houses. And we also participate in mass emailings about those issues that if you can't be there, there's such a thing called the witness form. So mm-hmm. on the last issue that we were participating in, which was the insurance exchange, there's an issue going through the houses at this time, and there was a $50 million appropriations for those health care exchanges. And through some of the efforts of, as I said, some of the folks that are already in Jeff City, they put forth a witness form, and we were able to submit 1,450 of them through email within a 24-hour notice that actually eliminated that $50 million being added on to that bill.
Right.
We felt like we were successful, very successful with that. And that's just not K&N, but that would be, you know, many of the...
And you united with other Patriot organizations around the St. Louis area, and you've been very successful, I think, in having an influence and creating a voice in Jefferson City and with the legislature. So moving forward, Sandy, what are your goals for the Patriot Group?
Well, our goal from the day one is to make sure that we have an administration that works for the people, not against them. And we... our effort is to educate and inform people of exactly what is going on. We want to provide the information to people in venues, of course, that will help people to learn about the candidates that are going to be on our ballot, the issues that are going to be on ballots in each municipality, how we find all of that information, and again, just basically getting the American voters to engage in the entire process so that they understand how their country works.
Absolutely.
And how it can be effective and how they can play a role, even if they do think that they're just one voice. One voice, in some cases, doesn't have much oomph, but... When you combine with many voices, you have a lot more power than...
Well, there's no better example than the K&N Patriots about what one person can initiate and what can get started here. Because
yes.
The K&N Patriots is the best example of that as any around. So, Sandy, how do people get a hold of you if they want to join you on the street corners on Saturday?
Okay, well, right now we are in the transition of our website. So we don't have a website, K&N Patriots, up and running at this point in time, but people could certainly call me on my cell number, and if you'd like, I can give you that. It's 314-249-7370. Or if they'd like to send me an email, and my email address is Sandy Garber, G-A-R-B as in boy, E-R, @centurytel.net. And if you send it with a subject line that you would like to learn more about K&N Patriots, then I can get back with you either by calling you or sending you an email.
All right. Thank you, Sandy. That is great. We really appreciate you being on with us, and we hope to have you on again soon. And if you have any updates about K&N Patriots, please let us know. Also, I want to let you know, in case you haven't done this, Sandy, go to the Missouri Grassroots Coalition website and join Missouri Grassroots. Share any of your information there that you have. There's a calendar of events that you can put your information on. Join us on the forums, and feel free to send blog posts in and share information about events that are near and dear to your heart or issues that you need to raise awareness on.
Well, that was great, Lisa, and I certainly appreciate the service that you are rendering to the concerned to citizens of America on these critical issues. And if I might add just one more thing.
Sure.
And that is that we are at a critical turning point in our political history of our nation. And as I was in Jefferson City, I heard a young legislator make a statement, and I'd like to share that statement. And that statement was, in 30 years from now, you will be asked one of two questions by your children and grandchildren. What did you do in support of the Patriot Uprising, or what was it like to be free? And the question will be either or, but not both. The answer depends on what you do for freedom today. It
That's
is
right.
Our obligation and our responsibility of all Americans to defend the Republic of the United States. And if not you, then who? If not now, when? So I encourage all people to get engaged with the political process and take responsibility for defending that republic that we have fought so hard for. And I will go to your site and make sure that I participate in that. That's a
Very
wonderful
good.
Service that you offer, Lisa. Thank you so much for it.
Thank you, Sandy. We really appreciate you being here, and we'll see you on the street corner on K&N in St. Charles
County.
You sure
will.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Oh, that's Hermione, the liberty-loving Labrador, barking at the cat next door, or a liberal walking down the street. Who knows? Anyway, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back with Brian Hook. Thank you very much, Sandy.
Thank you.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
Are you aware of the increasing attack on your personal property rights and constitutional liberties? The UN is working to implement international law and global control and will be meeting again in June to discuss how this plan can be advanced even further. If you cherish your liberties, then join us at the Farmington City Hall on May 22nd at 6 p.m. for a community forum about Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. Come hear more on how this plan is already being implemented in our local and state governments. Paid for by John Robinson for State Representative.
As to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Welcome back to Missouri Grassroots Radio. We just heard Sandy Garber from K&N Patriots. It's just an amazing story. I'm just amazed every time I hear it. Also, again, I want to remind everybody, go to the Missouri Grassroots Coalition website. Check it out. It's a new website, but it's up and running. It's a great place for you to share your calendar of events if you have issues that you want to, events that you want to share with the public and you know, raise awareness, or if there's an issue that you think needs attention. you know, we are very happy to help you, help support you in whatever issues that you feel you need support with. So go join the MGC website and sign up for anything that you see there and read the blog posts as well. I think that we have Brian Hook on the line. Brian Hook writes for Missouri Journal, and he does probably the best reporting on the Missouri budget that I have read. He's a no-nonsense, pulls no punches, tells it like it is, which is something that we all need because we're not always sure that we're getting the straight dope from the legislators on the Missouri budget. And from what I understand, we're really not. And what I've been reading from Brian the last week or so is that the Missouri budget is on the rise again with a Missouri a Republican House and a Republican Senate. People that are supposed to be fiscally conservative are doing their very best to raise the budget again. So, Brian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it. I've been reading your blog posts the last several days and am just appalled, although I don't know why, because I've been following the Missouri conservative legislature for the last couple of years with education, and it seems to be the same thing happening with the budget that's been happening with education. We've got conservatives driving the bus, but they are running down a liberal road. You know, with education, it's all about Obama's Race to the Top initiatives and spending money on education and all kinds of non-accountability issues. And from what I've been reading from your posts, it's happening in the budget. So what have you got to say about that?
I would say that Democrats or Republicans like to increase the budget. It has only dropped three times over 30 years. So spending continues to go up. They talk about budget cuts. And while some programs do get cut, overall spending continues to rise, and that has been a trend and probably will continue to be the trend.
So we have been emailing back and forth a little bit the last couple of days. There's been a lot of stuff in the news about the Republicans funding education, and it would seem to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that part of the increase in the budget this year is due to funding education. Would that be true?
They are sending out press releases and telling their constituents in letters that they restored the funding to education that Governor Jay Nixon proposed cutting. So that is one of their big plugs, that they are saying that they restored the funding. Which, restoring funding is sort of strange because it hadn't been spent yet, so they're not restoring it. They're just moving a line item. But
are they increasing the funding for education?
The education one, I am not 100% sure if that is going up or down. I think it's pretty close. My guess is just a little bit up.
Okay, let's talk about this education funding, because from what I understand, they're funding some programs for education and for the veterans' homes with settlement money, tobacco settlement money, mortgage settlement money. First of all, can you tell me a little bit about what is that settlement money? And let's tie that into some discussions that they had with last year's budget. There was a lot of screaming and crying about, let's not take the Chinese money, let's not take the stimulus money, because it's a non-sustainable income, and you can't really build a budget on a non-sustainable income. Is tobacco settlement money and mortgage settlement money non-sustainable income?
The tobacco settlement money, I believe that's the money that came from back at 93, 94, 95, so that one probably is sustainable. I'm not sure how long that one goes, but that's the $35 million. And that was actually moved from higher education, if I'm not mistaken, but from education to help fund the early childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So that was moved. But the Republicans restored $66 million for higher education than proposed by the governor. He was planning on cutting some from that area, but that's the area where they brought more money back in. calling that the mortgage settlement was going to higher education, but that was actually proposed by Nixon and was added as an amendment to his proposal.
Okay.
And the one interesting thing is I was told that there is a number of one-time funds for the upcoming budget. It's less, considerably less than in previous years because it's not nearly as much as the stimulus funding was, for example, or some other programs. And they've been planning for years in advance that they know that money was going to run out.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I mean, there was a lot of apprehension coming into this fiscal year because so much of last year's budget was funded on stimulus funding. Is that correct? And that there was going to be a big deficit coming into this year. I mean, I heard numbers swinging from $500 million to $1 billion.
Yes, they're always talking about an upcoming shortfall. I think the projections of that for next year as well. But somehow, somewhere, they always seem to come back up with the money, and it continues to go up. So it's a thing that they all. I felt like I was in the movie Groundhog Day, covering it this year compared to last year. It comes out, the proposal is going to go down, and then every hand that it touches, more is added in, and it ends up going up, and there's some amendments along the way. And then they come back during the next year and they add some more, and it just keeps on going up to year-over-year increase.
You know, one of the spin issues that I have heard about this year that I haven't heard about in previous years was the E in the budget. Can you talk a little bit about what the E in the budget is?
Yes, the E, and this is the area where the Republicans are upset with me because I wrote that they're wanting to spend $1 billion more than proposed by the governor, and they're saying that it's because of the E appropriations. Apparently, there in the budget there were 695 appropriation lines that were estimates, and in essence, they came back in and said, well, we don't want to have an E behind that on the thing. We want to make it more accurate or more transparent, and so they added more to it. So the way I interpret it, I mean, maybe a little bit sarcastically, they're transparently spending more money.
3.4%, is that correct?
3.4%. If assuming that all of the money that was appropriated for this year is spent, and if the governor approves the amount, the 13 bills for next year.
So with the 3.4% increase in the budget of this year, they're not really making budget cuts. They're increasing the spending. And the additional revenue, you know, where's the additional revenue coming from? Do we know?
The general revenue, they split the budget into a couple different. There's the general revenue budget, and there's the operating budget. The operating budget's the big number. The general revenue is the smaller one that they have a little bit more control over. All the sides come together and they give a consensus revenue estimate of how much they expect to come in, and they sort of base the budget off of that consensus revenue estimate, which I believe for next year is somewhere around 3%. I can't remember exactly what they thought it would be. So maybe that's there's different things in there. I wouldn't be surprised to see the governor come back and axe a couple of the things in there that bring down the number a little bit.
Okay. And have you heard anything from the Republicans at all about, you know, making any kind of cuts anywhere in the budget at all, other than the ease in the budget? Have they got any pet projects they want to cut?
Oh, there are. They do cut. They took some money away from, there's actually a little bit less in early childhood. That was the moving some from regular education to early childhood, and there are conservatives will have their programs that they don't like, liberals will have the programs that they don't like, and those are the ones that they will say need to be cut, but then they give more to the programs they do like. It's just sort of the way it
which generally falls out. It's a partisan issue. Well, there's a line from one of your latest blog posts that I want to read. It's just, the numbers to me are just staggering. I mean, we've been talking with the federal government about trillions of dollars, but on a Missouri budget, in this time frame, I just find it amazing. Throughout the last 30 years, total expenditures have dropped year over year only three times. And while spending has increased 468% from $3.9 billion in 1981 to $22.2 billion during 2012, those numbers are just staggering. You know, to me, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine that kind of growth. I can't wrap my head around it.
And the people, the complaints will be that I don't match that to inflation, that you would take it to inflation or various, you know.
468% is a pretty high rate of inflation. I think I don't think that's a fair statement.
Well, no. It's compounded, though. It might be higher. But it would take some off of that. But it is a lot of growth, yes.
Right. So from Nixon's lower proposed budget to the spending budget of the Republicans, I mean, do you have anything that you want to add about that as far as, you know, something that we haven't already covered? Are there any, can we expect any surprises or any last minute changes, do you think, from either side? Any big arguments down the road?
I don't think so. I mean, one of the things that they sort of seem to do every year is they have more, you know, they say that the estimates are going to be higher, but then if it doesn't come in, then it's up to the governor to do withholdings. And then last year there were fights over, well, don't withhold from here, you should have withheld from there, and then they fight over where the money is being withheld. But the one thing, I mean, taking off my journalism hat and putting on my political analyst hat, I think that anyone running for governor is going to have a hard time convincing fellow Republicans that they can get the Republicans to lower spending and balance the budget. I think it's going to be a hard sell.
Especially under the
current environment. It's just,
right. Because fiscally conservative Republicans just don't seem to be the order of the day in Jefferson City. So will a Republican governor, you know, make anything better? I think that is a great question. So have you heard anything about the employment figures in Missouri?
New numbers came out. I was expecting to write one of the story that I've been writing the last couple of months that said they're promoting that unemployment went down, but when you look at the full numbers, you also see that the number of people in the labor force also dropped. I was surprised that this month actually more new jobs were created than the people left in the labor force. So we may, at a turning point, or, you know, it could just be blip too. I mean, it's just 1 month. But I was surprised that I ended up having to write a different story. And the good folks at the Economic Development Department weren't any more helpful than usual. even though it was a positive story for them, it was surprising to me to see that the unemployment dropped and a bunch of people didn't also drop out of the labor force. The numbers are, while anemic, are getting a little better.
So when you talk about people dropping out of the labor force, are we talking about people that are unemployed that have stopped actively searching for work? Or are these people that have
employed? It can be that. Your unemployment insurance can run out. You can no longer be looking for work. You can also go back to school. You can retire. Or if you're raising a family, one parent could stay home, one goes to work. I mean, there's any number of reasons. And I've been shown and told numerous times that, I mean, the labor force nationally has been dropping since 1981. Some people say that's a problem. Some people say it's not. But it has been a longer-term trend. So it was interesting to see that go up the last month.
Well, I think that's a critical key point because you can't really tell that number. It can be skewed by so many factors, so we're not really sure why that's happening and what the reality is of that number. Is that true?
No, you never are. And when you put politics into it, either side, I mean, the Democrats accuse me of, when I write the numbers and I say the labor force is dropping, well, you're just trying to find the negative. Well, I'm just trying to tell a story, and so when I tried to tell a story the opposite way, you know, I actually got some emails from Republicans. Well, are you looking here? Maybe you can find some more people. You know, they want me to, the number to be bad.
Right.
But it's like, well, it was a little more positive this time, and I'm going to shoot it straight. So.
All right. Well, you can read Brian and all of his great work and give you the straight shot on the Missouri budget at MissouriJournal.com. And I thank you, Brian, for being on with us. I hope to have you on again and give us the straight information on what's going on in Jefferson City regarding the budget.
Great. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with Gretchen Logue of Missouri Education Watchdog.
Our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape our government in the interests of the people. In most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level. It's time to send a message to Jefferson City and Washington, D.C. Enough! If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general elections, and bring a friend.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Welcome back to Missouri Grassroots Radio. You are on Missouri Grassroots Radio Culture Vigilante Hour. We're here every Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. We're here with Dave Court. We've had some great guests on this evening, but we're going to move right into education. This is kind of my baby. This, you know, I'm a homeschooling mom. I've raised two kids and homeschooled them and followed Missouri legislation very carefully to make sure that our freedoms and liberties as parents and home educators have not been chipped away at, although they have been chipped away at over the course of the several years that I've been following it. We are very lucky tonight to have one of the country's best educational bloggers with us, Gretchen Logue of Missouri Education Watchdog. I've worked pretty closely with Gretchen on the issues the last couple of years, and I can tell you that there is nobody better informed about the state of affairs in education than Gretchen. Gretchen's been watching the Race to the Top issue. She was one of the very first people to bring it to the attention of the grassroots. A few years ago, I met her, I think, when she was speaking to some grassroots groups around Missouri. Gretchen has researched this far and wide on a Missouri level and a national level. And you can read her very good work at Missouri Education Watchdog.com, Gretchen, or org?
Yes. Missouri Education Watchdog.com.
Okay. Well, thank you, Gretchen, for being here. We've talked already several times today and several times this week. There have been a number of issues that we were planning on talking about, but today, ta-da, we now, thanks to the Missouri legislature, and it's been bubbling for a really long time, are going to have charter school expansion across the state, right?
Yes, we are. And it's not, had been in just the urban areas before. Now it's going to expand the opportunity within the state, in addition to allowing them in unaccredited and provisionally accredited districts.
Okay, let's back up a little bit, and let's kind of talk about what charter schools really are. A lot of people, and myself included, before I really, you know, started to read about it and understand what this was all about, charter schools, most people believe, are independent schools that operate under their own steam, and they make their own decisions, and they're just, you know, they educate kids better, and it's just a better deal, and a lot of people still really believe charter schools are great.
Uh-huh. Well,
you and I both sat at the same school choice seminar late last winter, where they confirmed to us that charter schools are public schools.
They're
funded by public money. They are sponsored by universities and local governments and private industry, but really charter schools are public schools. They're not really any different than public schools, except that they do kind of gain their direction from a few different areas. Is that right?
Well, pretty much. My understanding, traditionally in Missouri, they have had to have a sponsor, and it has been a university. Imagine Schools was sponsored by Missouri Baptist University, and they performed so terribly, they were shut down just this past year. This bill allows local school districts to sponsor charter schools, and so that's how they can now be anywhere in the state. When the charter school movement started, it was parents who pretty much did the charter schools. It has kind of morphed into corporations now sponsoring these charter schools, and they do take money away from the traditional public school system because now the money is going to the charters, which is privately run. It's privately managed, but it's still paid for by taxpayer money.
Okay, so basically what you've got is you've got a public school funded by public money with a brand new label on it.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about Common Core standards.
Okay. Common Core standards have been adopted by, I believe, 46 states now. We in Missouri are in the Smarter Balanced Assessment Consortium. We are in with 25 other states. This consortia, which is controlled by the National Governors Association and the Common Core State School Initiative or School Officers, they are both private organizations. They are the ones who set the standards. So we can no longer set our standards and assessments in Missouri. Constitutionally, we are supposed to be able to. We have the educational right to set educational decisions for our own children. We cannot do that any longer. We are now in this consortium. The charter schools, what I've been hearing a lot is charter schools can be flexible. They can teach what they want to teach. They can kind of do what they want to do. They can't when it comes to the standards and assessments. They are under the same regulations and mandates as a traditional public school because a charter school is a public school.
So, long story short, we have charter schools, which are really public schools, that are mandated to follow Common Core standards the same as regular public schools, right?
Yes.
Okay, so funded with public money. We all know public schools do not work. They're failing miserably across the country and in Missouri. So how are we going to get something different in charter schools if we are all being mandated from the federal government through Common Core Standards. And in case anybody missed it, what Common Core Standards are, nationalized curriculum coming down from on high from the federal government where everybody learns the same thing at the same time at the same rate. Common Core is just, it's a national standard.
Right.
So we've got Common Core Standards for public schools, and now we have Common Core Standards for charter schools, and we're going to have them across Missouri.
Right. The one thing that charters do, and that this is the conversation that I had with somebody today, they have greater flexibility to set discipline standards. They can increase, or they can tell a parent, we need more parental involvement from you. We want you to sign a contract. We want you to be a part of your child's education. And they have the child sign it as well. If the child and the parent, either one, they don't uphold their end of the bargain, they can be kicked out of the school.
Which you just haven't generally had in the public schools. Public schools
right.
are pretty much run by average daily attendance funding. They won't kick you out of school no matter what you do most of the time anyway.
Right, and the local school districts oftentimes can't even set their own discipline policies any longer because they have so many federal mandates, or they have to, for instance, you know, I had a child who was in a regular classroom and they had four behavior disordered children. This was in 10th grade. And legally, there's nothing they can do to take the children who are misbehaving out of the classroom. So it impacts everyone's learning experience. Now, if you are in a charter, that won't happen. But I think it's a pretty sad day when we have to spend billions of dollars and change state laws, because if the only reason charters are appealing to a parent because of discipline problems, that's pretty sad. So that's not really reforming education. That's just giving your child kind of, quote, a safe place to land.
Okay. Common Core Standards, let's back up a little bit, too. What does Common Core do to local control?
It takes away any control over your standards or assessments.
So if you have any issue, your parent, you have an issue with the curriculum, you have an issue with anything, I mean, you get buffed from the school because they're operating under Common Core and you get nothing.
You get nothing. You're right. You get nothing.
Okay.
Basically, I think when you're in a school today, your local school board can hire teachers and it can use money to help your physical property, to keep the physical property up. As far as curriculum, standards, assessment, that sort of thing, that's gone.
Okay. So that's lovely how that works.
Uh-huh.
I can just see changing education all over the place happening with Common Core and charter schools, not. Okay, there's one little thing. This is just one issue, but we talked about it this afternoon, and I've just been reeling about it all day long because it just ties the entire thing together so beautifully. David Cole, the architect for Common Core Standards.
David Coleman, right.
Coleman. Okay, David Coleman, the architect for Common Core Standards, was just appointed head of the College Board.
Yes.
Now, anybody who has children who, you know, are moving through high school and taking the SAT tests and dealing with college entrance exams understands what the College Board is. Well, if we have the architect of Common Core Standards running the College Board now, what does that do? We're not only dealing with Common Core K-12, we're going to be dealing with Common Core K-20.
Right.
So
right.
It just ties everything in together very nicely. So if not only is it going to require that public education K-12 follow the Common Core, if you are a homeschooler and you think that you have avoided all of this mess and this nonsense because you've had your children at home, you're teaching them about the Constitution, you're teaching them of the sciences that you want them to learn, they're learning how to diagram sentences and read and write correctly, and you're expecting to put them into the college track, you will have missed out because you're not teaching the Common Core at home.
Right. So effectively, they've taken homeschoolers, and you know, you can still homeschool your child, but if you want your child to go to college, you better teach from the Common Core, or else your child is not going to do well on the assessments. It's not what your child knows, or what it has nothing to do with what your child knows. It has to do how do they line up with the assessments. And that's what people have to understand. This is not about knowledge. It's the assessment piece. And homeschoolers and private school people, they're going to be in for a rude awakening, because if you don't align your curriculum, what you're teaching your children with the Common Core, then chances are your child is not going to do well on the SAT.
Okay. So I want everybody to go to homeschoolingunited.wordpress.com. There's a Homeschooling United Educational Freedom Pledge there. That was written mostly to get the attention of the homeschool community and to tell the legislature that we want to maintain our educational freedom. But it really does cross the boundaries into all kinds of education. So I want you to read that pledge. And I want you to take a copy of that pledge, and I want you to send it to your legislator and tell them that you support that pledge, because we need a movement in Missouri and across the country that we need to get rid of the Common Core. This is absolutely the road to indoctrination and brainwashing our kids. We will not have the ability to guide the education of our kids if Common Core takes over.
So, right. You got it.
it's just a disaster. I can't even speak. I'm so flustered by it all.
Well, this David Coleman, that's a very serious. It's very serious, and I know there are a lot of educational experts tonight that are just reeling. That's some bad stuff.
You know, Gretchen, you and I have worked together for quite a while. We've been looking at the associations of the people who have been driving the educational reform bus with Race to the Top and Educated Citizenry 2020. And those connections with those people and their backgrounds really does make a difference. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people out there who have misconceptions about Michelle Rhee and the kinds of things that she's done for education reform. I would like to have you back next week if you're available, and let's talk maybe about some of those associations and some of the educational reform myths out there and try to educate the public on what's going on.
That'd be great, Lisa. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for being with us. Please go to MissouriEducationWatchdog.com and read Gretchen Loeg. She's on Facebook. She's on Twitter. And you just cannot get a better education on education reform than reading Gretchen Loeg. Thank you so much, Gretchen. We'll talk to you next week. We're going to wrap it up. This has been a great hour of Culture Vigilante. We hope to see you next week. Next week, we'll have Gretchen back. We'll also have Chris Arps of MoveOnUp.org. It's another great patriot organization. Basically founded here in St. Louis, but I think they're kind of all over the place, and Chris Arps will be on to tell you all about what's going on with their organization. Tomorrow night, Dave will be back on, vetting candidates, letting us know about all of those statewide Senate races. Then Friday,
Tomorrow we'll go ahead with the free speech hour, because I just made this decision today, so I haven't had time to line up anyone for tomorrow.
Okay, internet radio on the fly, we'll take it. That's fine.
Right.
Friday night, we'll be hosting a roundtable and discussing Missouri issues. So please join us on every night of the week. You've got Missouri Grassroots Radio. Please join us, call in, give us your opinions, and don't forget to go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and sign up if you're not already a member. You can follow me on Missouri Grassroots Coalition, because everything I post goes there. I'm on culturevigilante.wordpress.com. homeschoolingunited.wordpress.com, guardianadvitamreform.wordpress.com, and examiner.com, St. Louis Political Buzz. We hope to see you or hear from you next week. Thanks for joining us on Missouri Grassroots Radio.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Check out our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.
Okay. Well, we're going to come up. Andy,